John Heyman time. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Evan?
Eh, I'm all right.
What's wrong? What's wrong? The Mets won the other day. Come on. Fuck up.
The other day? I'm supposed to celebrate that. Yeah, but unfortunately, I was going to go to the game Monday, right? And unfortunately, my dad was a little ill. He's okay now. And so I decided not to go to the game, and I was treated to the worst broadcast in the history of baseball. Would you agree with that statement?
Are you talking about the Olbermann Eduardo Perez?
Yes, that was the worst broadcast in the history of baseball.
Not only would I disagree, you were absolutely wrong about that.
Come on.
They were excellent.
Come on.
I thought they were really good.
John.
And I expressed that on Twitter. And
John.
You know what it is? I think people are used to – first of all, the Mets have the best local broadcasting of anybody by far. Their broadcasts are fantastic. Gary, Keith, and Ron, absolutely fantastic. So I can understand that from a Met perspective, but I think all fans of teams like their local broadcasters are used to the local broadcasters, and that's just the way it is. This was a little different. It was
a little different because it was
entertaining.
Bad. Entertaining?
Yeah.
How was it entertaining? Why?
I learned things.
What the hell did that get? Keith Olbermann's obnoxious? You learned that? I mean, what did you learn?
No, I knew that already.
right.
I thought he was excellent, though. I thought he was excellent. I thought Eduardo was excellent. Eduardo's fantastic. I think he could be a manager.
He was
somewhere.
The best of the three. I will give you
he
that.
He was really good. And I don't remember, but I know I learned a lot, and I thought it was very, very interesting and entertaining. People, you know, even, you know, the Mets have a great crew. I think the Yankees are good. The fans of teams that have very boring broadcast crews, which is most of them, they still love them. They're used to it. It's like your living room, you know. Even if your furniture is 25 years old, you still love it. So
you know what I
think
it
people
was?
And the Mets are, their crew is fantastic. So I get that from a Mets fan perspective, but. For a national crew, they were very, very knowledgeable. I thought they did a really good job.
I'm going to be specific then with my criticism because it probably isn't fair for me to just say, yeah, they're terrible and move on.
Well, they mispronounced the name. I mean, it's live TV. You've been on live TV. It's not so easy. You look at the light, you go, the TV, I'm on live.
And I'll defend Olbermann in this regard. I will. I'm going to actually give him, I'm going to compliment him. It cannot be easy broadcasting a baseball game when you haven't done it in 25 years and you're not really a broadcaster. So that is a tough spot, and I have respect for that. That's right. A tough stuff. But here's the thing, all right? When I watch a baseball game or a football game or even a basketball game, the broadcasters to me are the background. You know, you give me they're the background to the game, and it felt like they were trying to be the star. And maybe it's because I am a Met fan and a lot of people listening are Yankee fans and Met fans, but they were getting in the way of the broadcast. An endless debate about wins mattering, you know, got boring after the first 4 minutes.
I enjoyed most of the debates. That one went too far.
We got that.
Some people think wins are important for a pitcher. Some people think they're not important. I get it. That should have been ended a long time ago. But I like the debates. I was like talk radio. We like talk radio, right?
Yeah, but this isn't talk radio. It's a baseball game.
Yeah,
it's Jacob DeGrom against Luis Severino.
I thought they were different, interesting, enlightening. I think you should if you have it on TiVo, you should look at it again. You'll look at it.
Are you kidding me? Why would I torture myself like that? Why would I do that?
I don't know.
You know what the other thing is? Baseball's a very local game, right? We all admit that.
Yeah.
And I think that when you have a real local game like this, Mets versus Yankees, we don't want to hear a bunch of guys. I mean, Keith Olbermann, and the first few times I didn't mind it because he wasn't necessarily wrong, but how many times are you going to bash the Met history? I mean, he acted like the Mets were the New Jersey Nets / Brooklyn Nets, and I'm saying that as a fan. I mean, he just kept you-know-whatting all over the Met history, and after a while, you know, I'm starting to get a little bothered by this. Like,
yeah,
right,
well, I thought
off,
it was
pal.
The quirky stuff. About it is interesting to note, and I think he gave the Mets a legitimate excuse about their history. They're not going to have all-time greats who played for 15 to 20 years only with the Mets. Because they came in a different era. They were 15 years old, basically, or a little bit less, when free agency came in. And, Yankees are different. You know, obviously Jeter and Mariano were Yankees forever, even now in this era. But, you know, Mickey Mantle, DiMaggio, Babe Ruth, all these players, this was before free agency. It's a different world. And so I think he gave them a nice excuse. But it is interesting to note that to name the five all-time greatest Mets, obviously Tom Seaver's number one, but after that, you've got a bunch of guys who are incredibly talented who played half their career with the Mets, and it's an interesting debate. I thought it was very, very, very interesting. Sorry. And I mean, I said on Twitter, and a million people came at me, and then there were many of them I found were just people who don't like Keith Olbermann or saying that shows I'm a bleeding heart liberal, that I like the I had nothing to do with that. He didn't say anything about politics on the broadcast. He's a sports broadcaster now. He's not doing politics.
Does he work at ESPN now?
I believe he does, yes.
What does he do? Does he do sports?
I wish I knew exactly. I don't watch ESPN around the clock like some people may. You know,
who does?
I am on MLB Network, so he does work at ESPN now.
I remember growing up, I would basically, who would be my routine in the morning as a kid growing up? You ready for this, John? You're going to like this. Before I went to Lawrence High School or number six school, I would flip off between two shows. These are the two shows I'd watch. SportsCenter with Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick, and Three's Company. Those were my two go-to shows as I was getting ready for school. And you know, my favorite episode of Three's Company, I got to tell you, is when there was that misunderstanding. I love that episode. That was my favorite.
Yeah, right. Nobody you're funny. You're a funny guy. I mean, you know, that just shows you what a kid you are.
What?
I mean, my favorite shows were, you know, like I Love Lucy, and I mean the original, not the rebroadcast, you know. I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah, but John, you'll appreciate this. You know, ask me my favorite TV show of all time. Ask me.
Odd Couple? Okay, go ahead. What's your favorite TV show of all time?
Not even close. It's a blowout. The greatest TV show of all time is All in the Family. Period. End
of
discussion.
Wow, that is my era. That's early 70s.
It is the greatest. Archie Bunker is the greatest TV character in the history of television.
It's pretty darn good, yep.
And I'll tell you, I got some great stories about this because I've read about it. So Norman Lear once said that Carol O'Connor was a bleeding heart liberal, right?
Yes.
They would tell him, all right, so you're going to do this, this, and this as Archie. And he'd say, I'm not doing this. I am not doing this. And every time he'd end up doing it. He would threaten, I'm not going to do it. And then finally he would do it. He was such a
fantastic
brilliant actor.
Absolutely brilliant.
What a show. And that show, how many spinoffs? The Jeffersons.
Oh, I know.
Maude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
None of them as good as All in the Family. But they were all good. They were all very good, but not as good as All in the Family. I'm with you. That is an all-time great. I would probably say Odd Couple would be my favorite. But, I grew up to be a sports writer, so that could be why I like that one the best. But, it's funny how TV was better back in the 70s.
Oh, my God. That show. I would describe my favorite episode of All in the Family in all seriousness, and this is all you need to know about where we are today. I can't not describe it on the radio. It would be very difficult. I'd have to get creative describing
really?
The episode. Yeah, because I don't know how I'd phrase it without not offending somebody. I mean, that's how.
Yeah.
And it was so brilliant. And
cutting edge.
Oh
terrific.
God,
I
what
know.
A show!
All right, I'm with you.
We got to talk baseball. I apologize.
Yeah. No, I like that. I enjoy TV.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a fun discussion.
Yeah.
You would concede the Red Sox are winning the American League East, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think that the Oakland A's, the Mariners, and the Astros can actually make things interesting for the Yankees as far as making the playoffs outright?
I don't think so, no. I think the Yankees are – I haven't looked lately, but I think the Yankees will be in the playoffs. But I would say that's a bigger concern right now than the division because that's won by the Red Sox are having an all-time season. In my mind, I have all the stats in front of me. You know, we're all stat-oriented and war-oriented now, although you're not, but most people are. I think the three top MVP guys are maybe Red Sox. You know, somebody was going to tell me Lindor or Ramirez or Trout, I guess. But to me, it's J.D. Martinez and Betts and Sale. Those are the top three guys. They're having an all-time season. So That's gone. That division's gone. If you want to worry about the wild card, go ahead and worry. Be my guest. I don't really think that's much of a worry. Someone in the West is going to lose because, they're not all going to play great.
They're all playing each other, too. I mean, you've got a lot of head-to-head with those three teams.
Someone's going to have to lose those games. And I don't think it's going to be Oakland the way it's going.
I know.
And you said at the beginning, one of your brilliant predictions, that Oakland was going to be good. You were right. And the Dodgers are struggling. Look at them now. They're not getting anywhere near 95 wins.
I did not think, though, in fairness, because I always want to be fair about predictions I make right or wrong.
Why be fair? Come on. It was a great prediction.
All right, fine. I'm so brilliant. I knew
that prediction was brilliant.
Well, I didn't think they'd be this good. I thought they'd be better than people expect. But, I mean, they've got a chance to win 98 games. They have a legitimate chance.
They are dangerous. It is amazing. And look at that rotation. It's like brought back from the mid-90s or whenever those guys. No, it wasn't that long ago. But it was 10 years ago when they had Cahill and Anderson, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's unbelievable to me. I mean, Bob Melvin is having such a good year as manager. Cora's going to win 115 games and may not be the manager of the year. We'll see. I mean,
nah, he's got to be manager of the year. I got to make an exception.
Well, what if
yeah.
Melvin wins 100 games with Oakland, with Brett Anderson and Cahill, and who else is in the rotation? I mean, that rotation is nothing.
Sean Manaea. Sean Manaea is probably
their
ace.
He's good, but the other four are average.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree with you on that. I think the reason why I would still go with Cora is that the Red Sox have a chance to win 115 games, mm-hmm. and he's a rookie manager. And you're right, in a normal year, it's Melvin easy because of mm-hmm. what they're accomplishing in Oakland.
Oh,
but
my God.
I don't know, man.
It's an all-time year that he's having.
Now, I want to be careful when I say this because I have learned, John, that Red Sox fans can be very sensitive to anything that's said. Okay?
They're rough. It's a rough crowd, I got to tell you. They're not happy with me. It's particularly the Schilling fans. They go, they're something else. But
Curt Schilling? Oh, because you didn't vote for
him? Well, yeah. Why, I voted for him. How many years has he been on? 5 out of 6 years, I think I voted for him.
I thought you don't like him because you're a liberal hack, right? Isn't that what the reason is? You did vote for him 5 out of 6 times.
I voted for him 5 out of 6 times, and the 1 year I didn't was when he threatened death on the writers.
He retweeted,
and there was probably 30 or 40 other guys who felt the same. I was the only one who announced it.
He didn't threaten death. He retweeted an unsavory T-shirt that's out there about
not unsavory, death T-shirt.
Yeah, really, no, a terrible
is very
T-shirt.
Pleasant.
Unsavory? Oh, no. Okay, so let me go further with that, because you are right. A horrific T-shirt
horrific.
He retweeted. He wasn't wearing it.
But
he
actually feels that way. So it's not like, I accidentally tweeted this.
Most
of my tweets are accidents.
He doesn't feel that way, John.
Happens today.
John, he doesn't feel that way. He doesn't want to kill journalists.
I think he does.
No, he doesn't. Come on, that's a little extreme. He may be rough and make comments about journalists, but I mean, he's not really in his heart wanting to kill anybody. Anyhow, let me get to this point about the Red Sox. I want to get them all ticked off at me. All right. They're having a great season. They are maybe a historic season, but they may win 114 games like the Yankees in 98. Two things. The Yankees won the World Series. We'll see if the Red Sox can do that. But let me throw this out at you. In 1998, do you know how many teams in the American League lost 100 games? Do you know the answer to that?
No, I do not know that.
I'm going to tell you the answer. The answer is zero. One team lost 100 games.
Right.
This year, the Orioles are clearly losing 100 games. The Royals are clearly losing 100 games. And there's a pretty good shot the White Sox are losing 100 games. And there's an outside shot, but probably not going to happen, that the Tigers could lose 100 games. So in a way, does that weaken the accomplishment of Boston that the bottom of the American League is so much worse than what it was in 1998? Your thoughts?
No, not at all. The American League is still overall strong. They're still in a strong division. The Yankees are very good. Tampa is around 500. The division overall is very, very good. And I think if you add up the other four teams in the division, it's probably close to 500. But the reason it's not is because they have to play the Red Sox all the time, who are really good. So, it's a little unbalanced, but there are still some great teams in the American League. Houston could win 100 or close. Oakland's going to be close to 100. Seattle's going to be over 90. And Cleveland's going to be over 90. So you got six teams that are going to be over 90. So it's just unbalanced. It's not bad. The league is not bad.
No, it's unbalanced.
And by the way, Baltimore, while terrible, they're 9-6 now against teams from New York. So, crazy.
Listen,
we're not beating up on them like we should. Or okay. New York is not.
I understand what the Orioles have done against the Mets and the Yankees. I get it. And that's more indicative of the Yankees failing to beat up on them and the Mets failing to beat up on them.
Sure.
I tweeted this yesterday.
They are
25% of the Oriole wins are against the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's right. 9 out of 36,
believe.
Right.
That's the math.
I'm not taking it away from Boston. There's no reason.
It's
not because I'm afraid of the tweets I might be getting back at me. The Red Sox have been fantastic. I give them all the credit in the world. There are many teams that we called super teams. They're the one team of those super teams that has really played like a super team, and they deserve every accolade that they get.
When you compare, and this is where the Red Sox fan has to understand why I even brought this up, I'm not trying to rain on their parade. They are having a historic season. Nothing will take that away. But when you compare the 1998 Yankees, who in my for my money, that's the greatest team I've ever seen, and maybe the greatest team of all time. I don't know if they're better than Murderers Row. Maybe somebody else can tell me their opinion on that if they were around, if they're 110 years old. All I'm saying is when you compare great teams, when you talk about Jordan's Bulls and you talk about this Warrior team or you talk about Russell Celtics, we always bring up, because now we're nitpicking. We're talking about all these great teams. You have to nitpick a little bit, and that's all I'm doing. That they're 14-2 against the Orioles. Good for them. They've beaten them up, but they're a historically bad baseball team. That's what they are. They're 5-1 against the Royals. That's great that they've done that. The Royals are a terrible baseball team. Believe it or not, they actually lost a series to the White Sox. They're 1-2 against them. So it's not to rain on their parade. It's just when you talk about all-time great teams, you have to nitpick, don't you?
Sure, but I don't think that's a legitimate criticism. I think the American League is still really good. I don't think the National League is much. If the National League was much better, I could say maybe you have a point, but I don't think that's true. I think the three best teams are probably in the American League, and we'll see how it goes on record. It might end up being more than the three. It might be the four best are in the American League. Nobody in the National League has really been dominant to this point. So, no, I think they've been fantastic. You can try to nitpick them. I don't think that's a successful nitpick.
All right.
I think they have been truly fantastic. And they've done it, and they've had some injuries, and they've gone through them. Pedroia the whole year, Devers a little bit. They've had some in the pitching staff with Rodriguez. I think they've earned everything that they've got.
Okay. The Marlins also have a chance to lose 100 games. If they do, if they lose 100 games, you can add up the Red Sox as being 22-5 against those teams that may lose 100 games, the Marlins, the Orioles, the Royals,
right,
and the White
Sox. I think
Sox.
That's typical, though. I don't think that's that unusual.
No, they've done a great job. When you talk about all-time great teams, I think you just have to look deeper. That's all. Now, let's get to a not an all-time great team, and that was the brawl we saw last night between Nick Hundley and Yasiel Puig. A lot of reaction. I've seen a lot of people on my timeline on Twitter taking shots at Nick Hundley. Dude's got to take his mask off. And certainly a lot of stuff at Puig, who looked like he kind of backed away and really didn't go after Hundley until a coach was in his way. Give me your John Heyman blow-by-blow thoughts on the brawl from last night.
You know, I'm not a boxing commentator. You probably need Larry Merchant for that. I don't know. I did see that one of the coaches, George Lombard, who's a terrifically nice guy, did an amazing takedown. I don't know if you saw that on GIF or whatever of that, a GIF. I don't know what they call that.
You're very right.
An amazing takedown, so I give him credit there. You know, I mean, I don't know Hundley. He looks like one of those guys who's the appointed police on the field, maybe. I don't know. I think Puig has improved. I give him credit. He's not as nearly as annoying as he used to be, or doesn't appear that way anyway, so I give him general credit for that. And if he didn't really want to fight, I don't find anything wrong with that. If you fight now and you get hurt, you're hurting your team. So
do you remember earlier this season? I don't know if Ernie remembers, but earlier this season, I threw a name at you for National League MVP, and you scoffed at me. You said, "Come on!" You scoffed at me when I said this name.
Oh, I rarely scoff. I'm not a big scoffer.
And you scoffed even more as April went on and May went on.
Well, you know what? I have the NL MVP, and I have about seven or eight names that I could put first.
Well,
right,
John, so, the guy I brought up to you that you scoffed at is a fellow by the name of Matt Carpenter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's one of the seven or eight that I have in that group. So when did you bring that up?
In April.
Oh, okay. I did scoff at that. I like Matt Carpenter.
And
he really redid his approach and everything. I think he's a worker. I like the guy.
Do
we have a tape of the scoff? What does the scoff sound like?
I don't know. We have to try to find it, but I admit.
You might have imagined that scoff. I don't think I scoffed.
Maybe Joe is the one scoffing at me.
I'm not a big scoffer.
Matt Carpenter, bro.
No, it's not my place to come on here and scoff. I'm a guest on this show. I rarely scoff.
All right, real quick, because Dove is going to freak out if we blow off seven breaks. Because we were talking about this yesterday. I'm just curious. I know there's a month and a half left, so a lot can change. Real quick, the National League Cy Young Award winner at this very moment is who?
I think I got to go DeGrom, but
it's close.
Coin
flip.
Coin flip, and you know what? Nola's still in it, too.
I agree.
Nola's good.
I agree.
Yeah. And you got to look at the WAR numbers there.
No, I'm not looking at the WAR numbers. I throw that out. But I agree with you. It is very close between Jake and Max, and Nola's
still in it. Because Scherzer leads in the other category, and I'm not a big win guy at all with pitching. I don't discount it completely. I'll look at it a little bit, so it's something. But I'm still going to go DeGrom at this moment.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, how about this one? Because we were bringing this up on the air yesterday, and it got very interesting. And that's the American League MVP. Go ahead.
Wow. Oh, man. Geez, that's a tough one. I think it's Betts or J.D. Martinez, and I'm gonna say Betts because I think we owe him one. I think he should have been the MVP two years ago. That's a cop-out.
You know what?
I've heard a J.D. Martinez argument that's pretty good, that all those guys, Betts, Bogarts, the whole Benintendi, they're all much better with him in that lineup now. And I don't think that's a bad lineup. I think ultimately, and you're going to hate this, Martinez is going to be hurt by the WAR number. Remember, about 2 months ago, we were talking about the fact that Brett Gardner had the same WAR as J.D. Martinez and how ridiculous that is. Now, that's not true anymore, but I don't put too much stock in it, but I think ultimately Betts is going to probably be the favorite because of that, or even Trout. But to me,
Mike Trout.
Yeah,
stop.
To me, I would disregard that, and I still count the impact on the race, and I would go with Betts and Martinez and Sale and Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor as the top five.
Yeah,
and not have Trout in there. As much as I love the guy and fantastic, and he probably still leads in WAR, and I know a lot of the stat guys are going to go nuts on me, but I wouldn't even have him in the top five at this point.
Nah, I mean, he's also hurt now. I don't know. I look at it this way, and maybe this is me throwing a bouquet back at the Red Sox fans. I think the Red Sox should just sweep every award. They're having that kind of year. Not rookie of the year, because that's Andujar. But
well, Sale's the Cy Young winner.
Sale, Cora, and probably between Mookie and JD, I'd go with Mookie. But it's close. I mean, both have had great years, and we've seen the impact JD's had on that lineup.
But
I mean,
Yankees going to get the rookie of the year.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, and they obviously. Andujar is starting to run away with it unless Gleyber can get real hot.
That's the sense I get from Yankee people. They think it's Andujar also. They agree with you.
John, as always, just an excellent job by you.
And you?
Not really. Mostly you. I'll talk to you next week, Pat.
All right, good talking to you.
All right, the great John Heyman.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.